I just hope this evening the Lord will help us as we study the Word of God together. We're in Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. We're in verse number 9, Proverbs 16, verse 9. Proverbs 16, verse 9. Thank you for coming again. Good to see Brother Mark, Sister Debbie with us. Always joy to see them, appreciate them, love them. And each of you, we're glad you're here. And I mean that when I say that. But Mark, Debbie, Mark's been a friend to me through the years. Came here a while with us and helped us and left in good standing. Come back to visit. We're glad he's come. And I appreciate him. I really do. All right. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. A just weight and balance of the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. We've read those four verses. We'll give you some comments. And be done. Pray for us with us. Father, thank you for the day. A great day, a good day. Thank you. Day the Lord has made. We have rejoiced and been glad in it. Thank you for the good things that you've done for us. Thank you for privilege coming to church, study the Word of God. Help us do our best for the Lord. Help us just to stay with the Word of God. We know it's truth. I never have to worry about what I say if I'm faithful to be true to the Word of God. So please help me tonight. I pray that you'd help your people. And Lord, when we'd be tempted to do wrong, help us to stand strong against temptation. Help us to be right in our dealings with our fellow men. And help us, dear God, to be what we need to be. Forgive us where we failed you, work in hearts and lives. And we'll be grateful, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. A man's heart deviseth his way. It has been said, man proposes, but God disposes. Says here, his heart deviseth his way. I'm told that implies intensity of thought and care. You know, how many times have we put a lot of time into plans and things that we intended to do? You've been planning to build a house, you put some time in thinking about it. I know a dear man, young father, young husband. Recently, he and his wife have been looking at homes, and he's discussed it some with me, and I'm sure he has with others, and they've done a lot of research and looking and planning and thinking, and that's what we do. I mean, it's a good thing to check things out, not be hasty in our decisions, but, you know, we may be intense in all of that thought and care we give to it. We meditate, we prepare those plans. But in reality, it rests with God whether we can carry them out to completion or not. How many times have people put a lot of time into things, and lo and behold, it just didn't work? You know why it didn't work? It wasn't supposed to work. God didn't allow it to work. Now, we do believe in the free will of man, but we also believe in the sovereignty of God. When things ain't supposed to be, God don't purpose that, why, it don't happen. And I'm grateful that's the way it is tonight. And so that's what we have in this verse of scripture. You see, a man's heart devises his way. He thinks about where he's going, what he's going to do, all of this. He gives thought to that, but it takes God to bring all of this to accomplishment. Now, another thing, I've thought about things we planned on doing, you planned on doing. Lo and behold, how many times have I said, and I know my wife said this more than once. In fact, I think she said it, and not throwing rocks at her, but maybe she has to make more decisions than I do about things. But I've heard her say, and probably many of you have said the same thing, if I'd known it had been that much trouble, I wouldn't have never started. You ever said that? Well, you know what happened? You had plans and you had purposes, but it didn't come easy, right? You know why it didn't come easy? The Lord didn't allow it to come easy. He meant for you to have some difficulties in it. Don't understand a lot of times why it becomes that way. But mine amazing, you know. My wife said, if anybody can buy anything and it be faulty, it'll be us. I mean, you know, if it's something, you know. Lo and behold, a friend bought us a pre-lit Christmas tree, and then have lights on it. Now, isn't that a blessing? Amen. I mean, really. I mean, you know, I'm talking about that happened today. And the reason, you know. But on the other hand, how many times you said, man, wasn't that easy? You don't say that much. Sometimes you do. I've said that, you know. I mean, you're expecting things to be a little difficult. Lo and behold, it turns out smooth. I do believe with all my heart. That's what we have in this verse of scripture. Man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps or his feet. And that's a lot to consider. There is a divinity that shapes our ends. I believe that. I believe there's a divine hand, a divine purpose that shapes our ends. We, you know, look at things in our lives many times. We see them, as you'd say, rough, in the rough hue, or rough hewn, we call it. And that's when you take a piece of wood, a log, and you begin to take an axe and begin to square it up, get it sort of in shape. That's the rough hewn. But then, you know, there's that final work that's done on it. And I believe God's still working on us, don't you? And I believe God has a purpose. I humbly say tonight that I hope and pray that I don't miss the purpose of God and what God wants to do in my life and for my life. I'm happy to believe that God has worked in our hearts and lives to this point, and I want to stay in the will of God. Whatever God wants me to be, whatever God wants to do in my life, whatever it takes to shape me and form me, you know. In reality, I've prayed a lot in the last year concerning the later years of my life because I'm beginning to get there. I'll be 69 in just a few days, and 70 years is just sort of an average allotted time for man. And if we live longer than that, and there'll be reason of strength with our sorrow, labor, and travail, you know, we're down, getting on down there. Many of us are getting on down there. Well, I've gave a lot of thought to that. I've gave a whole lot of thought to that. I've spent some time in prayer concerning all these things. Well, I don't want to purpose things that are not God and His will. But if I do, I'm flexible. I'm pliable. I want God to bring His purpose and plans to fruition in my life. That's right. You know, Matthew Henry, in studying this, and I love to read different commentaries, and don't have many, I have few, but I like when I study, I look at different commentaries, different people that's commented on these verses of scripture. Matthew Henry, when he look at this, here's what it says: a man's heart deviseth his way. And he reminds us of the simple scripture that you find in James 4, 13, 14, and 15, where he said, go to now, you that say, today and tomorrow, we'll go into such a city, we'll continue there for a year, and we'll buy and we'll sell and get gain. For what is your life? You know what, not what'll be on to tomorrow. What is your life? It's a vapor, even a vapor that appeareth for a little season, then it's gone. But that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do such and such. If the Lord's will. And that's not just a cliche to tie into a phrase, but that is an attitude. It's to be sincere, and we understand that we're looking to God and we're depending on God's will. I think we need to understand tonight that we need to allow God's will and want God's will and want God to do for us what needs to be done. We're to have our eye to God, not only in the great turns of our lives, but in every step that we take. The Lord directeth his steps, every step. Each step I take is to be ordered of the Lord. Let's move to the next verse. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king, and his mouth transgresseth not in judgment. Now I want you to remember tonight, we're studying the book of Proverbs, and I want you to remember tonight that this is a Jewish book, and it has to do, and it's for us, we're to study it, understand those truths. But the nation of Israel was not a democracy, right? They had a king ruled supremely. They looked to him. And a lot of times, in fact, I remember years ago, how many years, I'm not for sure, it don't matter, but years ago, and it was a little bit draggy for a lot of people, a little bit boring, I guess, in some of our studies, as we studied the kings of Israel as recorded in the book of 1 and 2 Kings. I went again tonight and just sort of this evening and just sort of went over all these kings, well, maybe not all of them, but practically all of them, probably all of them. Just briefly, did you know, as far as I know, and I think I'm correct, but when you study the kings of the nation of Israel during the time of the recording, the era that you have recorded in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, are you aware tonight that Israel did not have one good king? Now, it didn't say that every one of them did evil in the eyes of the Lord, but it said, I mean, many times, over and over and over again, it said, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And concerning the father of Ahab, it said he did more to provoke the Lord, or he did evil more than it was before him. And then turn around, Ahab come along as a descendant, and he was worse than him. And you study the Bible. So what do we got here? What do we have? What's being said? A divine sentence is in the lip of the king. Well, that's that authority that he has. And it's like in those days, you know, a king that ruled supremely, whatever he said, that was it. That was law. That's what went. And they looked to him as such. Now, to be honest with you tonight, I know there's a lot of opinions concerning what goes on in our country. I think we have a political battle in our country tonight, and I think it's dirty, a lot of it, nasty, and it's a far cry from being what the Word of God teaches. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, that's beside the point. I'm not a politician, but I do believe this Bible, and I believe that America needs people to lead that believes in God and believes in righteousness. I believe that. And so you have, honestly, when that king, but think about this. It said a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. Who wrote what we're reading? Who wrote? spoke these words? Solomon, king, a godly king, a man that listened to God. I know he got sidetracked in the end. And how in the world could he do what he did when he gives us these proverbs concerning the strange woman, concerning the failures of man, and yet he got sidetracked in his later years and turned to idolatry and all that stuff. But Solomon was God's chosen king, and he said, his mouth transgresseth not in judgment. And so much for the fact Solomon believed that God placed people on the throne, and I do too. And there was power in what they had to say. Amen. Let's move on. Verse 11, a just weight, balance of the Lord's, all the weight of the beggar's work. Been a lot of crooked practices throughout the days. I've shared this before. You laugh about it, but it really ain't a funny matter. People who live like this surely don't know God. People that live like what I'm about to say, I'm talking about probably 70 years ago, 80 years ago, my father-in-law used to tell about the country store and the old merchant. He put a mop and a broom at the counter. And everybody went through that checkout or counter, whatever you'd call it, bought a mop and a broom. And if they questioned him, he said, oh, was that not yours? And if it wasn't theirs, he wasn't caught. He let on like that he thought it was theirs. And if he didn't get caught, he sold a mop and a broom that people didn't get. I guarantee you one thing. I don't think he'd sell my wife a mop and a broom. Because she checks those Food City tickets and those Kroger tickets. And it's probably a pretty good thing because people will hoodoo you. Right? Amen. You see, this thing, in reality tonight, this thing of Christianity, it touches more than our life and our practices in the church house. It touches our life from day to day, Monday. Well, I started with the wrong day, Sunday through Monday, for Sunday is the first day of the week. And it touches our life all week long. And we are what we are in business. I don't care what we put in church or how we act in church. If we're crooked in business, it ain't right, it stinks, it brings judgment, and it's dishonesty. And that's what we have in this proverb. It says, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. They are the Lord's. They are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. J. Vernon McGee said this is a word for the butcher, for the baker, and for the candlestick maker. So just weight and the balance of the Lord's. The weights of the bag are his work. A lot said in the Bible concerning this very truth. One has said religion enters into the business of trading. Weights and measures are sacred things. Being true and fair, they are regarded as God's judgments. You see, the observance of justice in commerce between man and man is a divine appointment. I want you to look at something tonight. Leviticus 19, please. Leviticus 19. I hope I've got the right passage. Look at it, verse 35. Leviticus 19:35. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Now that's talking about those that sit as judges. Shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. just balances, just weights, a just ephah, a just hin shall you have. I'm the Lord your God, what brought you out of the land of Egypt. Of course, here we have words that you'd have to look, study probably, because I don't know exactly. I've studied it today some and forgot what the measurements was. But he talks about meat yard. That's a length, of course. And then there's weight, there's measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah. And, you know, they had different means of measurement than what we do. But they were to be fair and right in their judgment. The Bible words that has to do with distance, several words. There was a hand breadth. There was a span, a furlong. A Sabbath day's journey, just altogether different. I have a problem with the metric system, you know. And of course, they've transitioned us in a lot of our merchandise to the metric system. A 2-liter Coke, for instance, and so on. Medications are in cc's. Millimeters and so on. But in dry measure, they had a handful. What does that amount to? It amounted to a handful. Well, what if one man's hand bigger than another? Use your own. It's a handful. You know? It probably wasn't ever the same for one, but I tell you right now, if you've got a big hand, give a handful. In fact, Jesus, when he was talking about how we're to deal with one another, he said, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Right? Honestly, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you fact. You say, I've sold a little hay throughout the days. If I sell a man 75 bales of hay, I'd usually throw one on just in case I miscount it. That's what you're supposed to do. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. You say, well, the law's strict. Try living under grace a while and expressing and showing grace and mercy to somebody. Right? I mean, it's a different principle, I promise you. But they had the dry measure, the handful, a cab, an omer, an ephah, a homer. Then in the liquid there was a hen, not a hen like a chicken, another hen, a bath. Of course, we've got ounces and pounds and pints and quarts and gallons and liters and so on. What does it amount to? It amounts to fairness. That's what it means. You're not to have, or you are to have just weights, a just ephah, a just hin. According to what I studied, and I think I'm right on this, you find these words in the Old Testament concerning measurement and dealing. He said, you're to have your measurements, your shekel. It's to be after the shekel of the sanctuary. In other words, you know, they had balances. Well, I mean, you can do whatever you want to with a balance. If you put 14 ounces here and balance it out over here, you can call it a pound if you want to, but it's shy. That's an unjust balance, what we're talking about. But he said a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary. The high priest had a piece of silver that was in his possession. That was the shekel of the sanctuary. In other words, it's true. And that's the way we're to deal with life. It's to be true and honest. Occasionally, this is an old thing here, but occasionally we weigh stuff and sell it where I work at. Bolts, we sell bolts by the pound. We sell staples by the pound. About all I can think of at the present time. And on how many times I've had a friend in a joking way say, preacher, you ain't got your hand on that scale, have you? But you know what? Those crooked people used to would sneak and do that kind of stuff. In fact, There's a way if you want to be, of course you know this, but our government checks scales. I'm sure they do in wherever you sell, grocery stores, wherever you sell by weight. You have the government show up every now and then, and they set their block on our scales. In fact, we've got a fertilizer scale, somewhat electronic, but they lay large weights on that fertilizer thing and to make sure. And there's been times they've said, shut her down. You can't sell off of this. It ain't right. But, you know, I'm not a crook. We don't deal crookedly. But all you have to do, neighbor, is put something in it or change. There's a way to be crooked, and people figure it out. It's amazing how people will figure out how to be crooked. You better be honest, because you're going to face it one day. That's right. A lot of things could be said tonight about all of this, but here's some great truth. Some great truth. Truth that not only the Bible teaches, but truth my daddy, my parents taught me. And it's truth you ought to be teaching your children and your grandchildren, to be honest, in your dealings. That don't amount to a whole lot. Yeah, it does. It's serious stuff. It's serious stuff. So may the Lord help us to understand these truths tonight. And it's an abomination to kings to commit wickedness. The throne is established by righteousness. Somebody says it's all the same. Did you know what? I understand. I really do. I understand if it's wrong for me to commit you to commit adultery. It's wrong for me to commit adultery. It's wrong for you to lie and steal. It's wrong for me to lie and steal. But I want to tell you something. When a person has an office, a position, whether it be in church or whether it be in government, there ought to be a high caliber and character of living. And we're accountable. We're accountable. I've got more to give an account of than you folk that sit in these pews. Right? And those that are over us in government got a lot to be accountable for. I'm going to tell you what, tonight, if you don't get nothing else out of what I've said, get this. You need to be honest in your dealings. Fair, square, straight up and down. You need to be honest in your dealings. Fair, straight up and down. In authority, that we might live a quiet and peaceful life in the fear of God. What a pray. I thank you for coming. I've given you what I've had, and I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you got something from it. I hope you got something from it. May the Lord bless you for coming. We'll stand, shake hands. I'm not going to get in your face tonight. I've got this cold. I feel good. But I'm not going to get in your face.